dear ones, for this afternoon's reading and meditation. Let's turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and read chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Ljubav za želim da se pročita zajednički iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Korinčanima, 13. glava. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, that we should appear approved, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. But we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Dear ones, the closing chapter of this a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth is a closing letter, and in it he's issuing some final warnings, and he's calling for a self-examination as he closes this letter to the church. He calls the church to examine itself. And that should really, dear ones, cause us to reflect a moment on what he is asking of us. We have to keep in mind that he is talking to a church that he has established, a church of a body of believers. And he's telling them, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. And he goes on and says, improve your own selves. And so, if we consider just that verse where the Apostle Paul is calling for a self-examination, I'm sure that every one of us can do a self-examination, calling upon his Spirit to be with us, even as he closes this letter, calling on the communion or the presence and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And as we examine our lives, that as we leave room for the Spirit of God to move within our hearts to see ourselves, we will see the deficiencies that we might have. But dear ones, I guess I don't really find myself being very, very critical of myself to the point that I would demand a change from myself. We oftentimes dismiss when we examine and find something that isn't in alliance, doesn't align with the Word, we will often excuse it or dismiss it. And Paul is writing here in the previous chapter, he's really speaking of the condition of the church. He's talking about envyings, debates, and backbitings, strifes, whisperings, swellings, foolish work. It's all evil work that is taking place I've written to you. I've been there, and I've issued warnings. I didn't come with a rod. I didn't come with my full apostolic authority that I have. Because he says here, I have been given really the ministry of edification. I want to edify, I want to uplift, I want to bring us all into the conformity, into the image, the perfect image of Jesus Christ. But he's saying, but none of that is working. And some of you are looking at me as being weak now, he says. You're looking at me as all talk. And that I don't have any authority to do what I will do. And he says, when I come again, if I find this in you, I will execute full apostolic authority in your presence. And he had authority from God, given from God. We know what apostolic authority Peter had when he talked to Ananias and Sapphira. That was to destruction. He says, I'm not coming to destruction. I want to edify you. I want to bring you to Christ. And so I want to pull you out of your sin by bringing you to Christ so that you can live in the power, as he says here, as he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. That is something that is completely foreign to the natural man, that through weakness, power is shown. We know that Christ, when he was that he was crucified. We know that after that there was a resurrection. That's the power of God. We know that there was an ascension. And then we also know that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost that empowers all of us. He says, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And he says, examine yourselves. How many churches are there that dot the landscape of America? I have no clue. But they're everywhere. They are everywhere. Churches, pastors, Christians, everywhere. I don't know if we can go a mile without seeing a church. We have one here. And no one believes that they are on the wrong path. No one believes that. Everyone wants the byproducts of Christ, the blessings. And everyone comes to Christ looking for health, looking for joy and happiness and all the good things that come from Christ. We want those things, but we don't want him. And that, my dear ones, is really what Christ's message is. When he says many are called, they're everywhere. Few of them will be chosen. So how many are deceived, living deceived? The blind lead the blind. Both fall into the ditch. The one who is being led doesn't bypass the ditch. He's being led right into the ditch because he's following a man. He's following that. And why does he follow a man? Because the man will not give him what Paul is saying here, that he will give him, that he has given Corinth, instructions and edifications that pointed to Jesus Christ. And in him is the power, and in him is all strength, and in him is salvation. Grace and truth, John says, disciple and apostle of Jesus, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Paul here says that we could do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. And so how many of the teachers across the nation and the world in Christianity really do for the truth? Now we're going to say, wait a minute. They do good things. There are good things that are done. And we're going to say, we cannot be judgmental. Absolutely, no one's judging anyone. But we let the word be in the forefront when we examine ourselves. You cannot look to me to compare your life to mine. And you cannot look at your life and compare it to another denomination and write them off as they're lost. I'm on the right way. We may be on the right way. We may be familiar with the right way, but the question is, are we reprobates? Or have we examined ourselves, whether ye be in the faith? And he says again, prove your own selves. How that, know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, dear ones, we are on the right path. And so now the question is Christ in me? Well, sure he is. Really? Why? Why do I say that? Well, I was baptized. Well, Jesus said that there's two builders of a house. Both are professing a faith. Lord, Lord, have we not done miracles in thy name? So, how do we know that Jesus Christ is in us? If he is not, we are reprobates. There's nothing of us. A reprobate is really worthless. And so we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, or we are nothing. And so he says, examine yourselves. What does church mean to you? What did it mean to the Pharisees? What did it mean to all the hearers when they came and they followed Jesus? Why? And it says, they came because of his miracles. Again, isn't that what we come for? You know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Are we like those who just came for the miracles? But we really don't want him. Because what he is asking of us requires that I die. It requires that I would, as Paul here is speaking and urging us to do, to examine myself, whether I am in the faith. Paul says, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And so, dear ones, when we consider anything that we do that does not bring forth the gospel message. We are doing it against truth. We're doing it against Jesus. We don't want him. Is there anything that we would examine ourselves and dismiss? Dismiss as a church that is perhaps too old, too old-fashioned, too old. And it's not about the church. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus. Is our life showing? Are we in the power of God? Live it by the power of God. Well, if I live in the power of God, there's not going to be whisperings. There's not going to be strifes. There's not going to be debates and envyings, jealousies. Come on, brothers and sisters. Is there envyings amongst us? If there's envyings amongst us, how can we say that Christ is in me and I am saved? We know if there's any wraths within us. We know if there's any strifes, backbitings, whisperings, that's like go whisper into someone's ear about somebody. Tumults are all out wars. In the closing verse of that previous chapter, says, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you. He's ashamed of these things. Paul is ashamed that this is a church that calls upon the Lord Jesus, and these things are evident in their life. And so he's calling them to repent. Again, what does Jesus call? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Does man today, when he goes to church services, think about repentance? I'm talking about us here and every church that gathers. Do we dwell upon repentance? The repentance and the confession of our sin, and to stand before God and to examine ourselves in the light of his word and say, yes, my life is hid in Christ. No question. Have I sinned? Yes, but I will repent of that sin because I can't dismiss it. Because if I dismiss it, then I am a reprobate. Because when there's sin that is alive in us, dear ones, we cannot call on Christ. If we call upon him, Jesus says it's those who come unto me, hear my sayings, and do them. So why does Jesus say, come unto me, so that you may hear me? And then when you hear me, you would do the things that I have asked and commanded you to do. These people in this church, these Christians, were whispering against Apostle Paul. Paul is telling them, what you're really doing is you're talking against Jesus. Because I'm just bringing you the word of Jesus. When I bring you the word and you don't like what I say, you're talking against God. That's what they did in against Moses. Moses was a messenger of God, and they murmured against Moses, which really what they did is they murmured against God. And we know how 14,000-15,000 men were killed in an unbelievable display of God executing his judgments on those who were disobedient. And after a rebellion, God's word came that everyone over the age of 21 would die in the wilderness. Every one of them. Why? They talked against him. They actually even spoke against God himself. At Moses, who really is still, you're talking against God because he was a messenger from God. Paul is a messenger from God. And so when Paul is instructing these believers, and they don't like what they say, what he says. They are murmuring against Jesus Christ. And dear ones, if there's anything that I say, anything that you say, that is not founded on his word, that's coming from me, and that's coming from you. If it's founded on the word, brothers and sisters, we better be careful what we say against it. When a brother comes to me and talks to me and brings the truths of the word of God to me, I shouldn't look at it as it's coming from him. It's the word. It's the truth. I can only do something for it. I can only do for the truth. I can't do anything against it. Because when you fight against truth, you're fighting against an immovable force. You're going against God himself. And going against him, dear ones, we don't have to dwell on the repercussions of that. And he reminds them here, he says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Again, he's telling them that I am absent. But if I come and I find that you have not repented of your sins, you will see my authority. That apostolic authority is not amongst us. Elders don't have it. Ministers don't have it. Brethren don't have it. Apostolic authority, we don't have. What we do have is Jesus Christ. All power. All power. And we have to look at the life of Jesus. He lived a life of weakness, as it says here. Crucified through weakness. Yet he liveth by the power of God. And so, dear ones, we are called to serve, to live in weakness, and then only can the power of God be made manifest in us. Dear ones, everywhere you look, there are organizations that are doing something good for someone. They're everywhere. There's charities that are, you just want to give. There's charities everywhere that you can give to. And what do those charities do for us? When I examine myself, is that what I look at? Is that what I look at? Oh, look, I've given to a charity. Lord, bless me now. Bless me. Give me more than what I had before. Because your word says that that will happen. Is that what I'm looking for? Dear ones, charities are supported. Yes. But Apostle Paul clearly speaks of, as he says here, how that Jesus Christ is in you. He speaks about the inner man. That this is who God wants. He wants the inside of me and you. Not the things that my hands can do. God doesn't need my sacrifices. God doesn't need those things for me to prove myself to him when he can see my heart. And so when I examine myself and you examine yourself, dear ones, it's your heart that you need to look at. Think about the moments when you were angry at someone. Think about the moments when you were envious of someone. Think about the moments when you whispered about someone. Think about the moments when there were swellings, pride, puffed up. Puffed up in being, in appearing as the Pharisees did. They were puffed up in their act of meekness. They were being proud. So do we act meek, and through that, we tell ourselves later, I really looked good. Someone said a good word about me. I looked good. Those are swellings. That doesn't belong in the church of God. Those are swellings. Those are things that I need to repent of. When I look at myself, are there debates within me? Wraths and strifes and backbitings. If those things are in me, then how can the power of Christ be made manifest? He can't. He won't. He works through the hearts, and we say, well, wait a minute. You've done a good thing. I've done a good thing. I've given to this charity. I've done a lot. God doesn't need my giving to a charity. He doesn't need that. That's not what he's going to look at and say, you were good. I know you didn't follow my law. I know you dismissed my law. I know you dismissed me. And you didn't really care to be meek, but you know what? You gave a lot. You're good. He won't do that, will he? Every one of us here knows that that's not who our Lord is. But do we, in the back of our mind, through the deceit itself, do we somehow reconcile our sin with good and try to balance things out to be, you know, kind of not super Christian, but not a bad Christian, just kind of a middle of the road, not knowing, not realizing. Why? Because we're self-deceived. That we aren't in the power. We're not in the power. We haven't tapped into that. Why? Because he's not with us. I still always think about Christ knocking on the door of a heart of a church. Dear ones, let's not be so quick to judge anyone except ourselves. Examine yourselves. Finally, he says, my brethren, farewell. And he gives this, it's really the only, I believe, apostolic benediction that is written in the scripture, is what is written here. He says, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Be perfect. That means that that something is brought to completeness. Is your Christian life, my dear brother, is your Christian life, my dear sister and mine, is it brought to perfection? Is it complete? Because if it's complete, it's in Christ. Is that where my faith is? Is it complete? Has it been brought to perfection? Completeness in him. Where my reliance is upon him, everything I do it because of him, because he lives in me. I'm not doing anything for self, for swellings. I'm not doing anything for pride. What I do because of who I am. And who I am is Christ in me, the hope of glory. He says, be perfect, finally. Put everything aside. Be perfect, he says. Be perfect and be of good comfort. Who is going to be of good comfort but the one who examines himself? One who examines himself and is brought to repentance and to turn around and come to Christ. He says, be of good comfort, be of one mind. No more debates. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. There were so many things that we read here that all we had to do is look back to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, actually same chapter of the first letter, where any of these things that are in, if they are in us, it shows, according to Paul, the evidence is there that you don't have love, and not having love, you don't have Christ. But if you had him, then none of these things would be evident. Yeah, even the giving of your life is perfect. It's done in a beauty. It says, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You want a blessed assurance? Greet one another with an holy kiss. He's saying that amongst you, there's all this stuff going on. Repent and greet one another. And he's saying all the saints are saluting you. All the saints are greeting you. And he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We see here God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit coming together. Paul is praying that in the full power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we would live and that he would be with us. And he closes it, all these thoughts that Paul had, being directed by the Spirit of God, has come to an end to this church. And he says, amen. He has nothing else to write. There's nothing more that he can say than what, because anything else would have been from him. He wrote exactly what the Spirit had directed him to say. And the Spirit of God told him to write to a church in Christ, believers in Christ, examine yourselves. Are you really in the faith? And dear ones, that's something that that I had laid on my heart after having read this in the call for self-examination, that with God's help, that we would truly do that. Examine ourselves in the light of his word, in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, learn of me. We heard this morning and again in the prayer this afternoon of what it means to love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. On that, all the law and the prophets are hanging, everything. It's complete. And so are we, dear ones, as we're being brought to a perfection, brought to living in peace, so that the God of love and peace shall be with you. See, if we live in turmoil, will God be with us? He says, live in peace, and so if you are perfect, brought into the completeness, the perfection in Christ Jesus, brought into that, and if you're in of one mind, you're living in peace, he says, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Otherwise, is he? Is he? So is he in my life? And so I have to look at my day. Was I God-directed? God-inspired? My thoughts and my actions, were they, did the Lord inspire me to do these things? Because it has to be perfect if it's inspired by him. If it's not inspired by him, who is it inspired by? Who was I deceived by? Self. Self. Me. Me. My God is my belly. And if that's who I listen to, then Jesus himself said that I will hear those words, I know you not. And so, dear ones, it is my prayer that this afternoon, as we reflect upon this word, that we really focus on the fifth verse where Paul is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he's asking us to examine ourselves and to prove ourselves. And may God be with us as we do that. Amen.
Think of them as a very dynamic church. There was a lot of things going on, and the apostle spent much time writing to them. He, in fact, he wrote 29 chapters to them in combination of. He wrote a lot of words to them. And he concludes all his writings by saying, finally, brethren, farewell. And then one of the things he mentions there is live in peace. Live in peace. There was a lot of things happening in Corinth. There was a lot of dynamics between the membership of there in Corinth. They certainly didn't all have the same thought in everything, but they were exhorted, live in peace. And when you live in peace, the God of peace will be with you. And so in another place, the Bible says that let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let that rule. Let that be what dominates, is the peace of God. Let that peace dominate. It's the peace of God. And here he's saying, if you live in that peace, the God of love and peace shall be with you. And so, as we take this word that we heard this afternoon about examining ourselves, whether we are in the faith, perhaps that's one measurement of that examination, is the peace of God ruling in our hearts? Are we living in peace? Not that there would be any absence of conflict or disagreements, but are we living in peace? Does the peace of God rule our hearts? That's one measurement of the examination that we can have whether we are in the faith and prove our own selves. And so I just appreciate how he closes here this epistle of what his prayer and wishes of the Trinity, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us. Amen.